Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. And, of course, you can always find us, too, on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. Today, we're catching up with Rochelle Putman. She is with the 2024 Mississippi Songwriters Alliance Pines Region Songwriter Festival coming up in July. And Rochelle, you have to say that five times fast to kick us off. I'm kidding. Oh.
I don't believe I'm going to be able to do that right now.
As I was going through it, I was like, come on, Rebecca, you can do it without taking a breath. But
yes,
it's definitely a good thing. And it's cool that it's coming to Meridian. It took a lot of partnerships to sort of get this festival to your area. So how did this come about, Rochelle?
Well, it actually came about through an initiative through the Montgomery Institute, through a partnership with the Mississippi Songwriters Alliance. The Montgomery Institute has been in existence for many years now, and its whole initiative is just to build East Mississippi and the West Alabama region by doing events like this. And not only that, but providing resources and initiatives that focus on leadership and workforce development, education, healthcare. But they're very active in the creative economy. And so this is where this festival falls in line. And this is how the partnership was formed between the Mississippi Songwriters Alliance. So we are actually going to be the facilitator of the event, the Montgomery Institute. And the Mississippi Songwriters Alliance is kind of the organization that is providing the songwriters and all the things that the songwriters are going to be able to enjoy through this festival.
So when we hear festival, Rochelle, normally we hear music playing, bands, that kind of thing, like come and relax. And while I feel like there's some of that that's going to be sprinkled in, this is also hands-on workshops, learning opportunities,
yes.
Education. So it is a festival, but it seems like maybe it's just a little bit different, too, for those that may want a little bit extra.
Yes, on July 26th, which is Friday night, we have four venues in downtown Meridian that are hosting songwriters, from the Brick House Boutique to 3 Foot Brewing Company, Eyes Taste of Thai, and Mia's Cafe. All these are restaurants and, bars and grills that are opening their doors to provide songwriters with the platform to showcase their originals. Material rather than just, being a cover band all the time or a cover singer. And so it's really to help the songwriter expand their territory and also introduce audiences to their own material. On July 27th, of course, we have the workshop with Tricia Walker, and I think most everybody knows Tricia Walker or have at least heard of her. She was the director of the Delta Music Institute at Delta State University for years, but she's also a Grammy Award-winning songwriter, and she's going to be doing the songwriting craft workshop at the MAX from 10 until 12 on July 27th, Saturday. And then that night will be from 6:30 to 9:30 will be the grand finale also at the Max, which will showcase Trisha Walker, Eden Brent, and I know everybody's heard of Eden Brent, who's won almost every blues award you can imagine, but also Emily White, who is a Meridianite, but she's also a very, very well-known songwriter in this area and plays a lot down on the Alabama coast, and Alana Mosley, who won the Jimmy Rogers songwriting competition several years ago. So we have a full weekend ahead of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it feels like there's a spot for everybody. So, Rochelle, for those that are listening that may know a songwriter or be a songwriter or aspire to be a songwriter, is there a spot for all levels or interest in that? And then if you're not, can you just come listen to all the good music that will be being offered?
We want to build this community of songwriters, and we actually want to incorporate the community of songwriters with just writers in general, because all writers can help and encourage each other. So we really encourage, you know, every songwriter to contact us, you know, for a spot. We have several regions that are highlighting songwriters now. We have the Delta region, which Trish Walker is over. We also have the Oxford region now. And, of course, the main region where everything started with the Mississippi Songwriters Alliance is in Ocean Springs. So we are spreading our wings everywhere around Mississippi, and we need every songwriter to be involved in the Mississippi Songwriters Alliance, because it's going to be very beneficial to them. We offer workshops, educational opportunities, of course, places where they can showcase their original work. I actually attended the Delta Region MSA Festival and attended a workshop there. And, I mean, it doesn't matter how many workshops you go to, you know, we are all lifelong learners, and I always learn something new at these workshops.
Mr. Shale, so are you a songwriter?
Yes, I am.
I don't know if I knew that. I knew you were in the arts, but I guess I didn't recognize that songwriting was also part of your creative outlet. That's cool.
Yes. I love songwriting. In fact, that's what I do as a teaching artist for the Mississippi Arts Commission, is I use music incorporate you know, songwriting into language art skills, but of course we also can incorporate history, we can incorporate science, we can incorporate all those things to improve and build critical thinking skills, creative thinking skills, and that's one of the objectives of this festival. We not only want to increase the awareness and appreciation of the art of songwriting and the songwriter, but we want to provide arts integration lesson in the schools, because, you know, kids love music. And I have discovered through my years of being a teaching artist is they may be shy when they first start writing a song, but by the end of the workshop, they are singing and they are loving the lyrics that they wrote. So
Ms. Rochelle, is the songwriting the lyrics and the words, or is it also and or the instrumental, the music part, or is that well, I guess that's more composing, but are they one and the same, or both separate, or one or the other? Does that make sense?
Well, are you talking about with in reference just to songwriting in general?
Correct. Like, I mean, in the workshops and stuff, do you get on just like the lyrics, the words part, the song, or is it also help with, like, if you're writing the instrumental piece, whether it's on a guitar or a piano or things of that nature?
Yes, it's both. And that's why we really encourage all these co-partners, because there are many songwriters who don't play an instrument. There are many musicians who can come up with beautiful, beautiful chord structures in which to place lyrics. So it really incorporates everything. It's from the lyricist to the one who composes the music, to the actual singer-songwriter who actually writes the lyrics and the music. So we encompass all of that.
Well, that's important to know, because now that's a networking thing, right? If you've got, one of the two or not feel comfortable with the other, now we've got networking. You can find your perfect pair, perfect match for that. And then two, just, how creativity sort of just builds off of one another, snowballs when you get in a room with like-minded people that can sort of play off what you're already have created. So how do they find out more information, Rochelle? This sounds really cool.
So they can call me, 601-880-1089, or they can email me. It's Rochelle1Putnam, that's the number one, at yahoo.com. I'm also on Facebook, so if you're on Facebook, friend me, and especially if you're a songwriter or a musician interested in participating, or just a writer in general, because again, like I say, we are trying to get all the writers together, because a fiction writer can help a songwriter by story development. A songwriter can help a poet by those metrical elements. So we're all helping one another.
I love that, Ms. Rochelle. I appreciate your time here on Good Things. Hope you guys have a great turnout, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Rebecca.
All right, you guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
If you're feeling upbeat, positive, and stories that make you smile, this is Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
Welcome back to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you have downloaded that. We hope you know you can always find us on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. Coming up next, don't forget, too, you got the boys with Sports Talk Mississippi. They are broadcasting live from PTG Outdoors on Lakeview Drive in Grenada. So if you're in the area, go on and make plans to drive out and see them from 3 to 6. They're hosting the 5th annual Crappie Crankin' Classic. Last time I've said Crappie Crankin' Classic. It's a family event, and the first 50 kids that have registered to get a rod and reel combo for free. So you may want to check that out. If you'd like more information, call PTG Outdoors or check out their Facebook page, or just stay tuned in to Super Talk, because you got the boys coming up next and they will be there live. But if you like fishing, there's a great story over at supertalk.fm. This is wildlife officials declare July 4th as Free Fishing Day in Mississippi. So that's coming up next Thursday for July 4th. If you want to plan a little get out and get your rod and reel and what a hook, as they would say, and enjoy the day, then you can do that. You still, I think, have to abide by all the other rules when it comes to the count.
Yeah, limits and size.
And size and sort of all of that, but you do not necessarily need. So this is a good time if you have your license. Take kids, bring a friend, all those kinds of good things, and your bug spray, and your sunscreen, and your water bottle, and your shade tree.
Have you seen the new hats that are, maybe that's just what's the ad algorithm showing me, but apparently it thinks I want to buy these hats that they're the nice big wide brim hat that you see in the summertime, but they have solar powered fans
that come through.
They can kind of tilt.
They kind of tilt that
way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My daughter's headed to camp next week, and she's already been to camp. She knows what camp life is like. But my mother made the mistake of asking her, because I guess my mom thinks that July is hotter than June, which there may be some truth to that, but like not a whole lot of truth to that. It's camp. You're outside. You're going to be hot. Like,
yeah,
hot
it's
is hot.
Pretty much once it gets above 85,
I mean,
it's hot.
Just hot. And then it's going to be shaded and wood and all things. But she wanted to send her neck little thing that has the fans on sort of either side. And I was like, absolutely not. No. You're going to camp. You're going to camp to sweat and to get sunburnt. Maybe not too bad, but, you know, get a little sun and, you know, have a good time. You're not going to take a neck fan with you to camp. So I rained on that entire parade. I said, you can wear it around the house if you want to do that, but you're not taking it.
Yeah, if it's not the big wide brim hat with the fans in the brim that I'm getting ads for, it's the little compact fan contraption you clip on the bottom of your shirt to puff up your shirt.
Now, I will say, in terms of this particular heat, if there's a scenario in which you have to walk a distance during the day, like in a large parking lot or maybe like to or from somewhere, they do make, and you have to look decent, so you can't just put on the, you know, put on that. They do make umbrellas for like reflecting the heat. I've also seen, now not all turn like baseball, softball, whatever tournaments will allow you to have them in because they disrupt view or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's another place that you're just like a sitting duck that doesn't always have the right kind of coverage. But, and I was real weary of like the stupid umbrella at first, but it worked. And it's just like the thing you put in your car to, it's got the silver on the outside, the darker on the inside, just to sort of reflect it. Now, I'm not going to say it like brings down your walking temperature 20 degrees or anything nuts like that. And there's some truth that it just takes the sun off of you. And so that in itself is going to make it a more pleasurable experience or just a cooler one. But I hook, line, sinker, bought and sold on it. You wouldn't use it every day, but like if it's when you start getting into the noonish hour and it's 100, feels like 115 out there, I'll take every 5 degrees imaginable.
Well, that's the thing. Okay. Like you've got the sunshade umbrellas. You've got the umbrellas now with the little mist system. It's got a fan and it's gonna spray you with water that you store in the handle of it. But the one thing about those mist systems, or really anything like the little fan with the squirt bottle on it, that only works if the humidity is 80% or lower. Because if it's 100% humidity out there and the mercury on the thermostat says 90-95, you're just adding more moisture, and it's not going to go anywhere.
No, it's not going to go anywhere. And I'm curious about those hats. So if someone does like sort of fall into Facebook's trap and buy it, we want to know whether they work or not.
Oh yeah,
because it's coming from the top, right? Like you would think that it's hot air coming, you're blowing into your face. I get at some point any air moving and circulating is going to be better than just stagnant air, but at the same time, I don't want hot air just being blown up under me. Under, you know, that's not what you want either. And there's that whole, I don't know if it's a debate, but it's a discussion around the little circular thing. Like when you turn on the AC in your car and it says like you can hit the button that's got the arrow that says it's going all the way through. Some will tell you not to use it. Some will tell you to use it, that it circulates like the air in the car versus the air outside of the car and sort of in and all the things. The idea would be if you didn't use it, like if you go from parked and it's hotter under the car than in the car, it's going to take longer to cool off. So my theory would be if you're pulling air from the top into your hat, I don't feel like that would work.
I think it would depend on the humidity. Because if you got less than 80% humidity, moving air will cool you because it's going to take the moisture away from you, and that evaporative effect is going to cool you down at least marginally. But if you have 100% humidity, that moisture has nowhere to evaporate to. It can't go into the air. The air is already saturated. So the moving air doesn't really do a whole lot to cool you as far as the temperature. Like you may feel cooler because the air is moving across you, but the actual temperature your body is experiencing, it's not going down.
We're getting to that point, though, guys and gals. It's just hot. Like, it's just, like, let's just call a spade a spade. It just is what it is. Whereas the minimal amount of clothing that
last week of June in the Magnolia State. It's going to be hot.
That your employer will allow you to wear. And, you know, like, don't expect good hair days, good whatever days. Like, you just get out there and just sort of survive for the next.
What are you talking about? Always have a good hair day.
Next 8 weeks. I think you planned this whole thing appropriately with coming into the 12th annual Palmer Home for Children Radiothon, where we hope to see you lose it. If the Radiothon would have been like November, December, January,
it would have been a big shift.
Would you given up your hair?
It would have been a tougher call to jump to the hair, because it like you said, it originally started with the beard, and then it became the beard, the shave, and the haircut. But even just shaving, like shaving a full beard in winter, would be a stark difference for the first couple days.
So, I mean, is it a stark difference for you whenever you do?
Oh, it's huge in the middle of the summertime, because I will be doing my level best the entire morning of the radiothon to not get too hot, to not get too sweaty, because I got to get a haircut. So, I mean, you don't want to have sweaty hair and a haircut, but it's hot when it's 90 degrees outside.
It's gonna be a job, July 11th, yeah.
Full mountain beard, and yeah.
And then you just walk outside.
But yeah, when it's gone, besides the initial itchiness of that post-shorn little hair fibers everywhere, the breeze on the head and face is magical.
Have you ever gotten a head burn?
No, thankfully. I've only shaved my head, like razor shaved down to the skin, one time.
I've only had like a scalp, kind of like where your hair parts or whatever, once, and eyelids once. And I swear, Lord willing, I will never allow that to happen ever again. That was the worst pain in my entire life, to have to blow dry my hair or brush my hair, and to have allowed that to get. And it's one of those things that it can be a perfect combination of overcast, but also not high humidity, not super June, July. It's like May, September, or whatever, when it feels great outside, but you don't think you need sunscreen, and you don't realize, or you put it on in the places that make most sense, but you forget those delicate sort of areas. But if you've ever had a scalp burn, or where your top of your eyelids, because maybe your sunglasses didn't cover or whatever it may be, get crispy,
never experienced that.
I wouldn't recommend that for nobody.
The worst sunburn I ever experienced was coming from Tupelo down to Jackson to move into college. Sophomore or junior year, they get a little blurred at this point. But I was in the minivan, because it had the most space to put all my stuff in it to travel down and move in. And it didn't have air conditioning, so it was going to be a warm ride already in August. So I had my arm out the window for the entire ride. So that nice breeze blowing by kept my arm cool until I get out, and it's like, oh, there's already a blister, and it's the size of a tennis ball, and that is going to hurt.
That is going to hurt. Yeah, some life lessons are bought and paid for, and most sunburns are that way. All right, stick with us. It's Friday. We got Movies with Tanya coming up next.
I like to see sunrise, see love in my woman's eyes, feel the touch of my precious child, and no mother's love.
From the sea,
Rebecca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Is it currently out, Rhino?
Yes.
Do you know, Tanya?
I think I do.
What is it?
A Quiet Place.
No.
It's currently number one at the box office.
Oh. So it's Inside Out 2?
That's correct.
Ah, okay. Good deal. It's still hanging in there. We hadn't seen it yet, but it's on our list of things to do.
Yeah.
To go see Inside Out. The girls want to see it, and I hear so many folks say, that's it, that's my brain, that's what it's like on a daily basis. And so,
The best thing about this one, I mean, they did it a little bit in the first one where you see inside the brain of like the mother or whatever, but this one, they do a deep dive and they keep going into all the people's brains. It's really funny.
Well, good deal. Yeah. Well, it's obviously has resonated.
Yes.
And it's doing well. But if you have seen it and want to see something else, what we got this week, Tanya?
Yeah, so A Quiet Place Day One is out this weekend.
Isn't it a horror movie-ish?
Sort of. So this is the third of this series, but it's sort of a spinoff and a prequel. So I'm assuming you didn't see the other two. So
A Quiet Place does not sound like anywhere I need to be.
Well, in this one, it's the same event that happens in A Quiet Place, but just in New York City. You get to see, you follow a girl named Sam who is terminally ill. She's staying in hospice, and a guy that works there named Henry, who was actually a character in the last Quiet Place movie, but we didn't know him yet. In fact, I don't even think he had a name in that movie. But he appears in this movie as someone at hospice who convinces her to go on a field trip with everybody. They're going to get out. It's going to be good for her. But little does she know that there's going to be an invasion by these extraterrestrial creatures that we, same creatures we see in A Quiet Place and A Quiet Place 2. You know, they're blind. They can't swim. And so because of their blindness, they have super, super good hearing. So that's why you can't make a noise, because if they hear you, they're going to come get you.
No, I will not be seeing this.
But along the way, she meets an English guy who is a law student. And so together, they're trying to figure out, you know, how to escape. And she has a cat who named Frodo, who steals the movie. I mean, what is it with cats and movies? I mean, they just keep showing up and seem to be...
Who is the character training everybody these loves cats for movies?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing, Lupita Nyong'o plays Sam, and of course she's a great actress. She's in the Black Panther movies. We met her. She won an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave, and so she's just a fantastic actress. But she asked, whenever she was being cast in this movie, can we replace the cat with another animal? And the reason being is she was just scared of cats. So she had a fear. So she had to actually go through some sort of therapy so that you're not scared of cats. And, of course, they became fast friends.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so this one's PG-13. To me, it's not as scary as the second two. You've got your jump scares. You've got all of your suspenseful moments. But, yeah, I think this one is interesting. John Krasinski, who wrote and directed the first two, mm-hmm. actually helped come up with the story and is a producer on this movie, but he did not write or direct it. So it's a little fresh take, I guess, on an event that we've already been exposed to in A Quiet Place and A Quiet Place 2.
Would you have needed to see the other two to get this one?
I don't think so. I think it stands on its own. Doesn't take you long to figure out what's going on. But anyway, so that's probably, I feel like that one is probably the best shot at beating Inside Out 2 this weekend. But the other one is Horizon, an American Saga. This one stars and is written and I believe directed by Kevin Costner.
His blood, sweat, tears, and dollars in
it. Yes. And every time I see any kind of ad for this, I think I'm watching Yellowstone. Or, I mean, to me, it looks like it's in that same vein. I have not seen this one. It takes place. It's fictional characters. And it takes place over a 12-year span, pre and post Civil War America. And just the details of exploring the American West.
And I know there's supposed to be like 4 installments.
Yeah, so there's going to be 4. The one is out now, of course. Then we're going to get number 2 a year from now, and a little over a year, August of 20. Oh, no, it's 24, so just a few months. And then
he wants his money back.
Yeah. And chapter 3 and 4 are both to be announced.
I think he's up to like $100 million of his own money or something stupid like that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, I think if I had that kind of money, I wouldn't, I don't know.
You wonder though, never seen an episode of Yellowstone, don't hate me, but I get that it's all the rage. You wonder if he could have figured out how to finish that without it being muffled, the relationship being muffled, if the fans would have been more likely to come support this with it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You wonder if him not finishing Yellowstone will hurt his Horizon Yeah. Because that is his audience.
Right, exactly. So it'll be, I mean,
he but there's a part of me that hopes the man makes his money back.
Oh, I do too.
Because he really put it on the line.
And, he clearly cares about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Waterworld didn't go so great for him. So I say that, but it's gone on to its own thing, even though the movie itself was panned. It's like an attraction at Universal or Disney, one of those. So I'm sure he's still getting some money.
Well, if folks get out and see it, it should be a good one. I feel like it should be one you might want to see. If you like the action, I think it's like a good Western if you're into that.
Yeah, for sure.
That'll be something you're into.
And that's not my favorite genre. I'm not against it, but yeah, he's definitely got an audience. So hopefully.
Would your husband go see it?
Yes. He watches Yellowstone. So I think he would enjoy it. Well, even though I know those are two different things, but
they're not.
Yeah.
Cowboy horse.
Yeah. but we do have a couple of new things on Netflix this weekend. The first one is called A Family Affair, and this one has A-listers. Nicole Kidman is in it, Zac Efron and Joey King, and Kathy Bates is also in it. But this is one that was filmed back in 22. It was supposed to be released last year, but the strike held it up. And here we are, and it's being released to Netflix. But Joey plays like a manager or personal assistant for Zac Efron, who's like a big movie star, so a big stretch for him. And her mother is Nicole Kidman, and her mother and Zach's character have an affair. So that's what it's about.
Isn't this one that they said, and I don't know if they stole it or whatever from the other movie with the older lady and the younger guy?
Oh, yeah. I want to say Once Upon a Time, but that's not it. It's mm-hmm. got time in the title.
Mm-hmm, that one.
Yeah.
That left such a lasting impression.
Yeah, it could have been inspired by it. I mean, because we know that one was based on a book. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one, released on Netflix. This one's actually been out for a while, but it's new on Netflix. But it's called The Imaginary. And this is an animated, Japanese animated film. And it's about an imaginary boy that can only be seen by his creator, who's a young girl. And unfortunately, this imaginary boy's life is all dependent on, or the imaginary friends in this movie can only live as long as their creator's memory. So it reminds me, I haven't seen this one, but it just the description makes me think of the movie If. I mean, yeah. some parallels there.
In that way. Was there that many imaginary friends out there?
I know.
But like, did I miss out?
I don't remember,
and now they're gone?
I think I don't ever remember having one. I'm sure I did, but I do remember my cousin had one and my niece, you know, and my niece would get very upset if you like sat on sometimes her friend was sitting in your chair and
I don't remember that phase with my children yet. I know one's still going, but if the 11-year-old comes home with one, I think we're going to have to sort of pass that. But it is sweet, and I do think people will resonate with it if that is the case.
Yeah.
So, what are we looking out for?
Well, next weekend is Despicable Me 4. It actually comes out Wednesday, a little bit early for the 4th of July. So that'll, I'm sure, will be the big one next week. So if you haven't seen Inside Out 2, you might want to go check it out this weekend so that you've got your schedule open for Despicable Me 4.
Definitely something to do in this 115 degree heat I think we're supposed to have.
So, yes.
Yeah, maybe it would be a good thing to do. All right. Thank you, Tanya. You guys stick with this. We got more for you coming up next.
Is reviewing
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Things streaming live over at supertalk.fm, always streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you've taken time to download that. We're always on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station and over at Supertalk TV, where you can find us on your computer or your mobile device. But you can find us for the 12th annual Palmer Home for Children Radiothon coming up Thursday, July the 11th, right here on Supertalk. And every year there are children across Mississippi that need a loving home. So we take one day aside to just tell you all the good things that are going on over at Palmer Home for Children as they serve vulnerable kids throughout the state and beyond that, really. They are a faith-based organization. They don't take any government money. And so that's why we ask for your help. So we're going ahead and telling you, put it on your calendar to listen in and join us for the 12th annual Palmer Home for Children Radiothon, all happening July the 11th here on Supertalk Mississippi. So you get a holiday Thursday, and then you get a radiothon Thursday, and in that order. Rhino, today's one of those national days. I don't understand why they chose to do it in the dead of summer. So it is National Paul Bunyan Day. God bless the man who, you know, has to wear flannel and breeches and boots and a full beard and all the things in June. Like, who thought, like, June would be a good, let's make June 28th the day that we'll remember the big blue ox and the mighty lumberjack as he sweat his tail off, doing whatever it is that lumberjacks do in the forest. And let's put him in flannel and jeans and socks and boots and just throw him to the wolves. But I guess wherever that may be that he came from, Michigan, it may not be the same heat
index. Probably not as oppressive as far as the heat index.
As oppressive as it was here.
I want to say the earliest examples of celebrations of Paul Bunyan mm-hmm. might have happened in June or July, so maybe that's why, but
I feel like
that's just one of those American tall tales that,
yeah.
I mean, you got Paul Bunyan, you got Pecos Bill, you got, and so the funny thing about these is you have some that are just complete fabrications, and then you have some that are just exaggerations, like Casey Jones, the mad conductor that would just get the train going as fast as possible.
Is he real?
Yes. Based? He crashed in Mississippi.
I don't think I knew that story. But old Paul, there's several cities who claim to be the official home of Paul Bunyan.
Well, so, of course.
Of course. They have the giant Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox statues. They pay tribute to the folklore hero, whatever it may be, in the town sort of around then. But yeah, God bless him. He brought flannel to the forefront. And so I just don't recommend wearing flannel today. I love flannel. I got some favorite flannel. It's my favorite. I just feel like we need to protest and move. If there's multiple cities who claim Paul, they should all have a national day. And anywhere in the South, let's move it to like November. I feel like late October, 1st of November is a great Paul Bunyan.
It's just a way of weeding out the true Paul Bunyan enthusiasts. If you're willing to put on the flannel in the heat of summer, then you are obviously a diehard Paul Bunyan enthusiast.
Think about it. When are you at, like, one of the most physical tasks to do is chop wood? I mean, really. There's not a muscle group you don't use to do that. And at a certain age, you probably get a kick out of doing it, like showing off, I can do this. And there gets an age where you're like, oh my God, I'm buying a wood splitter. Like, I'm saving up my corns and I'm getting a wood splitter. What time of year are you using that? Nobody's using an axe during the summer. I mean, you may if you have a tree that comes down and you want to get a head start on firewood. But like normally, you think of using axes.
Yeah, that's a fall or winter. Maybe the spring, but yeah, that's definitely not something you associate with summer.
So I protest. Whoever created June 28th as Paul Bunyan Day, you got it wrong. Maybe you wrote down the wrong month Maybe you meant January. That would be the only other potential J where I could sort of figure it out. It wouldn't be December because that's 3 days after Christmas. So I'm still going with November. You might fall into Thanksgiving sort of territory, but I protest that for sure. Dwayne said I had Paul Bunyan's. Did not feel good. Probably not. No, flannel won't help you with that either. You know, of all the crazy things they're bringing to the Olympics, even the other day we were watching the TV and they were talking about the setup for
breakdancing.
And even my 11-year-old Neely was like, huh? I was like, yeah, exactly.
It's because breakdancing is really, it had its heyday. And that heyday was late 80s, early 90s.
They should bring in like lumberjacks.
Yeah, the lumberjack competition would be amazing to watch.
I'd rather watch that than
each other.
Then,
and you could you add a whole plethora of events because you've got the chopping, you've got the climbing, you've got the log rolling, you got all those things.
Balancing, all the things. See, I protest that too. I'm just in a mood today. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next. You got the Boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I will meet you back here Monday at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.